Let's go to Luke 5:17. Just stay in this now, because when we, and my word's kind of short, and when we get to the end, I think the Lord will lead us in something. We had a major breakthrough in our prayer meeting. The Lord cleaned up a lot of things in all of us and helped us break through into some new places and helped us pray things that needed to be prayed. Danny opened our meeting yesterday talking about how it was an important meeting and that destiny was going to happen and that we were going to have just some great thing. And they did. Everything she said at the beginning of the meeting took place, and God changed things. And I'm happy to tell you, God changed me.
He did, me too.
Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Praise God. How many of you are here tonight?
I am totally
okay.
Here.
Okay. Luke 5:17. I got to do this way. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. By the way, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Then behold, men brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? And that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Church, Jesus is looking at your faith. He was looking at their faith that day. And sometimes you just need to get up and knock a hole in something and go on through.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
just going to have to knock a hole and knock through a wall or knock through whatever's closed off and go on through.
Yeah.
This is what they did. This is what they had to do. And I'll just say to you that if you have a body, and I see a lot of bodies in here, if you have a body, you have authority on this earth.
That's right.
And if you have a voice, you have authority on this earth. Can you move?
Yeah.
Can you move?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Then Jesus can work with you. He can work with you. If you can move, Jesus can work with you. Jesus was a great faith preacher.
Yeah.
And while he's teaching, the atmosphere there got charged with faith because of the word of God that he was preaching. Mm. And so this was happening in the house. The atmosphere was charged. Anyone with faith and the courage to act is going to get healed. Anyone that'll act.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Pastor Deb was saying, you know, take a step.
Mm-hmm.
You're making an action in the spirit. It doesn't matter how silly it looks out here that we all take a step. It's what you did it as an enactment from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stepping into this.
Yes.
And so you know, if you have the courage to take some steps, God will meet you and he will fill you.
Yeah.
If you've never prayed in the spirit, if you'll just open your mouth, he'll start going. You don't have to do it. He'll do it. Amen. If you need healing, if you'll just begin to confess it and believe it and receive it, you're going to get your healing.
Yeah.
God does the healing part. We do the loving part and God does the changing part.
That's right.
We do the faith part. God does the providing part.
That's right.
That's what we need to understand in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the truth. Living by faith is different than just using your faith occasionally. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
There's a difference. Some people only use their faith when they get in trouble. But then some people live by faith. That means that you lean on God for everything. He's the one that's going to do it. Amen. You're not figuring out your life. You're leaning on God. That's what faith is. So I believe if we're going to do that, then we need to continue to find out more about faith. And so what we want is we want our faith to increase.
Right.
We want our faith to increase. Now, I do understand. They said increase our faith, and he said if you had the faith of a seed, you would say.
Yeah.
So you could have just your measure, your one little measure. That's how you got saved.
True.
You can have that one little measure of faith, and you could get saved, and you could move a mountain. You can move a sycamine tree. I'm sick of mine and you're sick of yours. That's what Jesse Duplantis says. But, so there's power in the faith that you have, but why not increase it?
Mm-hmm.
And so your faith is going to work wherever you turn it, but you've got to get it focused on something, and you've got to, have some confidence that God is going to come in and back up his word, and he will. Amen. So you have to point your faith if you're going to hit the target.
Yeah, true.
You know, you've talked to people. Well, what are you faithing for? Oh, I don't know. Yeah. You using your faith? Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Praise God. I'm using my faith. Well, for what? Oh, I don't know. Well, that's not very pointed, is it? But we do need to use it. And what I want to tell you is that God is arranging things. Listen to me. God is arranging things and putting them within your reach, in reach of your faith. He's the author of your faith, and he wants to give you increase. So he'll put something right out here for you to start moving toward. Are you with me? He's working on this. He's trying to help you. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees admitted that day that they had seen strange things. That's what you've read the story. They said, we've seen strange things today. And I just want you to know that God wants to do some strange things for you.
Yeah.
Not strange meaning bad. Strange meaning, well, looky here. What's this? What's happening here? Look at this favor. Look at this door. Look at this. What's this right here? And all of a sudden I sense I can do this. I sense we can grab this. I sense we can move forward. I sense promotion. I sense this. I sense healing. Whatever it is God will help you. He's the author and finisher. So he'll help you and he'll put something that is within your faith reach. And, you know, we live by faith, we walk by faith, we fight the good fight of faith, we hold fast our confession of faith, and we know that all things are possible to those who believe. We just sang it. And there's not a person within the sound of my voice, except maybe someone listening online that I don't know, but everyone I'm looking at believes this. God can do anything. And God can do anything with someone who has the faith to believe it.
Right.
But what we have to understand is sometimes our faith needs to be increased to get to the level to grab other things, bigger things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
So it takes faith to move. Can I say it like this? It takes faith to move with God.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to stay in the same place.
Amen.
We've all been given that measure of faith. That measure can get bigger. It can grow. We want ever-increasing faith. That sounds like a book written by Smith Wigglesworth. And it was. And in that book, and I just mentioned this before I started preaching, that he said that there's two things we need, and that is to live by faith and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those are the major things that are going to help you in your Christian life. If you can hear Holy Spirit, if you can sense unction, if you can follow him by being aware of him on the inside of you, you've got a good thing going.
Yeah. Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
You all awake?
I'm awake.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, when it comes to faith, you got to get it before you get it.
true.
Anybody get that?
I do.
You got to get it before you get it. Did you get that?
Yeah.
See, but once you've got it, once you get it, you've got it. Once you get it, you've got it. And then you'll start saying, I've got it. I've got it. I got my healing. Well, is this, that still hurting? Yeah, but I got it.
Yeah.
Well, did you, I got my new vehicle. Well, is it parked at your house? No, it's at the dealer, but I got it.
Yeah.
I got my raise. How much did you get? Well, it's this much. Well, did it come in your check? No, but I got it.
Yeah.
Because you got it and then you'll get it.
True.
Amen. I'm not trying to get it. I got it. Sometimes you just have to step over that aching void with nothing under your feet. And you just have to step out on the word. You just have, just put your feet on the word. The devil's going to try to keep you in this feeling realm and in this sense realm. But sometimes you just got to say no. And let me tell you something, church, you can use that in every area. When things look their worst, or you feel your worst, you can say, no, I'm stepping out in faith.
That's right.
Stepping out in faith here. I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I have this. I have that. I have peace in these situations. All of these things work. Amen. Anyway, as I was saying, you can increase your faith. Faith can grow. And so this is what you need to know. When a pilot takes off, the control tower clears them, for certain altitudes. Mm-hmm. And, they'll come online, and I don't know pilot lingo, but I think they call out their numbers or something. Y'all know. And they'll say, you're cleared for 10,000 feet. And so they throttle and they go 10,000 feet. I feel the Holy Ghost on this right here. And then it says, you're cleared for 20,000 feet. They go higher. You're cleared for 30,000 feet. Go higher. You're cleared for 40,000 feet. But they can't say this. My God, I'm going to fly anywhere I want to. That's why you need faith and the Holy Ghost. Because you'll be led into your victories. You'll be led into your faith levels. You don't want to bite off something you can't chew, as they would say. But you're led into these places. And God's going to put that 10,000 feet right here and say, come on up. And then he's going to put that 20,000 feet and say, okay, come on up. And then he's going to put that that $30,000 feet. Thank you. Help me. And you're going to go, I started switching. I think that was the Holy Ghost. And then you can go up or healing in your body or peace or believing God for people to get saved or believing God that we can help in situations we need to help in. All these things. Think about when we've gotten together and we believed God and we all gave into something. And there are people sitting in Israel right now that miss dying in the Ukraine because we used our faith and brought them home.
Thank you, Lord.
And they don't even know us.
Yeah.
And we don't care.
No.
But we did God's will.
We did.
How much more can we do? Thank you, Jesus, for that. So I just want to be that person that the Holy Ghost says, you're cleared for 40,000 feet. How high can you fly, Randy? Real high. 42,000? Okay, commercially. Okay, so see, 40's good. 42, we'd be right up there with Brother Hagin. If we get past that, we might be in heaven. Anyway, praise the Lord. Just kidding. So, but you can't just say I'm going to fly wherever I want to. The man in the control tower knows things you don't know.
That is right.
They know things you don't know.
Yeah.
I've told people sometimes, you know, they're like, Pastor, da 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 da, and we need to do this with this person, and I'll say, just wait a minute now. And they're like, but da 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 da, and I'll say, you don't know what I know.
Yeah.
I might know something you don't know.
Yeah.
So hold on a minute before you push the throttle up on this idea.
Right.
And then Holy Ghost is saying that to us. Before you start pushing the throttle all the way up, let's see if the airspace is clear.
Okay.
We don't want to run into anything.
Yeah.
Amen. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we wait until we have the clearance to climb in higher altitudes. And we need to have as much confidence as God as we do in that man in the control tower.
Yeah.
We need to believe that he'll show us and lead us and we'll know how to move forward.
Amen.
And when he tells us to pull the throttle back, do you pull it back or you pull it forward? To go up, forward, then throttle up.
Yep.
Amen? So, that's faith growing. Now, as we see in the verses here, faith is a team sport.
Hmm.
You're not on your own on this. Faith is a team sport. And what Jesus saw that day was corporate faith in action. And that's the power of believers pulling together. They're pulling together for something. And if you get some believers pulling together in the church, then faith will get stronger than unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more faith of this is what it is, and Lord, I sure do hope so. But if we're believing together, things will change.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, Jesus started out just needing 12 people to agree with him. And then he got 70 to agree. And then he got 120 in agreement. And then he moved on up to 3,000. People started moving in this thing. And it's always going to be a trap of the devil to make you be independent. To isolate. It's always going to be his trap. Well, that's good, but I just need to stay over here. That's always the devil's trap.
Mm-hmm.
We need one another. We need to submit to one another. We need to honor one another.
Right.
We need to love one another. We need to help one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Apostle Paul, I bet he sure was glad when his disciples that he had just made, they lowered him down with ropes in a basket. Remember? On the wall?
Mm-hmm.
I bet he was really glad that he had some guys who were in agreement with him.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the Apostle Paul is probably, well, my pastor would say so, but is probably the most important in the letters in the new, you know, his position was very important. But can I tell you something? On that day, those guys were the most important. Those guys who lowered that basket,
okay,
those were the guys that are the most important. The intercessors that are praying, those are the guys that are the most important.
Mm.
The prayers that are getting together, the people that are standing in faith, the people that are changing the atmosphere, those are the people that are important. Everyone's important, but it's not just someone who's getting up and preaching. It's the corporate faith working together, the body of Christ working together. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord.
Amen.
He was important, but they were more important at that moment. So, you know, God has chosen for us to work together. And if we refuse to do that, we're out of the place of faith. We're not really doing all that we can do. So never get so proud of your faith that you think you don't need any help.
Mm. Yes, ma'am.
I don't mind telling you this, that some of the first people that I submitted to, tried to teach us that, you never let your congregation see you in a weak way. And I say that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes being candid and telling people what you've gone through after you've gone through it or if you're hurting, we'll help people. But it was like, you can't let them see you be weak. You can't ever let, don't ever let them know if anything's wrong. Well, the reason why I don't want to let people know if anything's wrong is because of faith. Because I'll tell about it after I get the breakthrough through it.
Yeah.
But, to tell people, I mean, we're raised by the best, and Brother Copeland doesn't mind telling you, I didn't rest and I hurt my back he'll tell you what he's been through and what he did wrong and how he cast the devil out of this guy. The guy jumped back on him, so we knocked him through the sheetrock. I mean, you know, he'll tell it. And he says, I knew it was wrong, but you know, it just got away from me. You know, I mean, so, and I appreciated that. To know that, you know, he hit some weak spots in his life. But he may have gotten knocked down. He didn't get knocked out. He got back up. So then the next people that helped raise us, they did it right. And they said, you can be candid. You can be vulnerable with your people. You can tell them they'll love you that much more if they know that you're human.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I need you. You need me, but I need you.
Amen.
Amen. We need each other. We need each other standing in faith. And so, the body of Christ has a lot of imperfections, church. There's a lot of them. I know you've watched Christian news lately. Well, the prophet's this. Well, this. Well, this. Well, I'm good. I'm in the middle. I did mine right. Just all the stuff. And you're like going, let's just love each other. Let's just love each other. Let's just go ahead and look over the faults and get together and love each other.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like, I heard some things I didn't like recently and I thought, well, it's certainly not my place to judge.
Yeah.
I'll love them. Did I like what they said? No, but it's not my place. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to put their stones down.
Yes, ma'am. That is right.
Amen. I tell you, I've got some faith friends and I like hanging around them. The biggest enemy of faith is unforgiveness. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case. I plead the blood that you may be acquitted. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, God is a forgiver. Do you agree with that? God's a forgiver. He does it for his own sake. This is just one scripture. There's other verses about this. He forgives. He does it for his own sake so that he can bless the way he wants to. But we have to receive that.
Yes.
That's the block.
Yeah.
It's not, God's still mad at you, so he's not going to do that for you. It's not that. He already spent Jesus.
That's right.
Okay? And so, you know, we have to learn to forgive ourselves, and we have to learn to receive what he's given us. Right. You know, Ernest Hemingway, he wrote a short story called The Capital of the World. And it was a relationship between a father and a son, and it was very strained, and eventually it shattered. And things were not good at all. And so eventually the son runs away from home. And the father begins this long journey looking for this lost and rebellious son. And so finally, they live in Spain. And he puts an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And his son's name was Paco. And that's a very common name in Spain. You can imagine. Kind of like John here, probably. And so in the ad, he says this, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow. All is forgiven. I love you." And so the next day he goes to the newspaper offices and there were 800 Pacos. You've read the story, I could tell. 800 Pacos standing there wanting to be forgiven.
Oh. Wow.
Receive your forgiveness. Yes. Everybody wants it.
Yes.
People just don't think they can have it. God is not holding anything against you. What happened yesterday is over. Talk to him about it and go on.
Yes.
Just go on. And we need to feel that way about other people. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. So when we believe that God has forgiven us, he can bless us as only he can. God has forgiven you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You don't know my past. What past? You know, yesterday I cussed you out. What? That's how God is.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If God doesn't believe we've done anything wrong, then we should allow him to erase it from our memory.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Man, when I was a teenager, I did some stinker stuff. I was a wild kid. Probably not as wild as a lot of kids, but to me it seemed wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, riding 120 miles an hour on a motorcycle and half the people in here went, I've done that too. You know, just crazy. I could tell you a lot more, but it doesn't matter. You know, but just stuff that would just be, you know, dangerous and silly and you know, high school. You're not my best friend anymore. Well, I'm not your best friend anymore. Well, he's my boyfriend. Well, you need to leave him alone. Well, he looks good. I'm going to steal him from her and da, 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 da. And I'm not speaking to you for a year and blah, 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 blah. You know how all that can go on in people's lives. And then when you get older, you were like, why did I let those people that I've never seen again influence my life?
Yeah.
And then you feel bad about it, but I'm just going to tell you something. Forget about it.
Right.
Well, I was divorced 5 years ago. It's over.
That's right.
Well, I was incarcerated a year ago. It's over.
Amen.
You have a new life. Well, my life was messed up and I've been bipolar and I've been this. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had some bad money deals. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yep.
Amen. It's time to have some good deals. Smith Wigglesworth said, never look back if you want the power of God in your life. Just stop looking back. It doesn't matter. Well, you know how I just had a really bad relationship and it just liked to ruin me. Well, you're not under the curse anymore. You're not tied to that. You're free from that. You're free. Well, I ran around with, you know, the mafia. You're free. You can even be free from that. Well, I did a lot of drugs and now I feel burned up. God's the healer.
He is.
God is the healer. Amen. Past is the past. Say that. The past is the past.
The past is the past.
I'm letting it go.
I'm letting it go.
See, when those four crazy friends broke that hole in that ceiling and let that man down, Jesus saw their faith. And what does he say? He says, thy sins, thy sins have been forgiven. What's he doing? What's he doing? He went after the deepest problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't go after, okay, you're in here, you're paralyzed, so I'm gonna heal you right now. He went to the next level.
Yeah.
The man obviously was paralyzed in his heart.
Yeah.
He was immobilized in his soul.
Yeah.
He couldn't move forward for some reason. And so it affected his body. And so before he could get free on the outside, he had to get free on the inside. So Jesus went after the inside first. Man, your sins are forgiven.
Wow.
Go free and rise up, take up your bed and walk. That's what that's all about.
Hallelujah.
God's gone after our deep stuff.
Yeah.
He worked on us yesterday during thermostats.
Yeah.
We had breakthroughs all over the place.
We did.
Because we were willing.
Yeah.
It didn't feel all that great, but we were willing. And when we got through with it, our days broke open. Our lives broke open.
Yeah.
We dealt with things.
We did.
There's things that we admitted to each other. And God loved it.
He did. There's freedom in it.
There's freedom in it. And do you know what Jesus said? Man, ma'am, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Self-hate, loathing, thinking little of yourself, thinking you're cursed, whatever it is, whatever it was, it's all gone. Yeah. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Da-da-da, this or that. I'm all tied up. I'm in a knot. That's all gone.
Yep.
It's all gone. It's all gone in you right now.
Amen.
My mama didn't love me. It's all gone. My daddy didn't love. It's gone. My daddy was mean. My daddy wasn't, but your father's not mean. Well, I didn't have a good life. I wasn't raised. I kept remember hearing that all my life. Well, you know, honey, they didn't have a good life. I heard that a lot, and I understood. I mean, there were some stories in my family. My grandmother, her husband died early, my great-grandfather. Her father died early, and when the great-grandmother married the next guy, they locked my grandmother up in the room, and it was hard. She ended up marrying like at 13 years old to get out of the prison. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she was hurt. But guess what? Guess what Mama did? Mama got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And her life changed. You know? We can get over those things. We can get over all the paralysis. There's nothing between Jesus and you.
Nothing.
It's over. There's nothing between me and you. And if there's anything between you and somebody, fix it.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
You want to know why? Because we have corporate faith and we have corporate love.
Yes.
And we can walk in it. Amen.
Yes.
Y'all like this okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'm almost done. So Jesus speaks to his deepest need. So, and if he's calling you forgiven, then you're forgiven. And when you get into the presence of Jesus, forgiveness and restoration are free.
Amen.
They're free.
They are.
And when you remind him, it just opens the door to his goodness. When you just say, he said in that verse, in that 26th verse, he said, put me in remembrance. And so if, when you say it out loud, God loves me and I'm all right with him. God loves me. I'm all right with him. Goodness will start flooding in. I always tell Deb this. It sounds really cocky. I like it. I always tell Deb, I say, the Lord loves me. I say it just like that. The Lord loves me. She goes, he loves me too. Like, yeah, he loves me. And I don't mean that to be boastful. It's just the truth. The Lord loves me. I'm just going to tell you, dude, the Lord loves me. He loves me. And you know what? You might want to walk around and say that for a while.
Yeah.
You might want to get in your car and say, you know, Pop, Papa, whatever you call him, you love me.
You do.
You can't help yourself. You love, it's what Jesse Duplantis used to say. The Lord loves me, ladies and gentlemen. He can't help himself. That is the truth. He can't help himself. He loves you and he's all about you and he can't help himself. He's just like wanting to fall all over you and just go, let me just give you a little kiss and I'll just put my anointing on you and he'll just face you. He loves you.
He does.
And that's for men too.
Yes.
One of the sweetest relationships I ever saw was a friend of mine, Ricky White. He's in heaven now, but he had these big old boys like Jordan and Art and big tall men that were his kids, and they were all like teddy bears with each other. It was so beautiful. They'd hug and kiss and it was so sweet. It was manly.
Yeah.
But that's how you can be with God.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of junk. And that's not who you are.
Yeah.
But you and God, guys, mm-hmm. You can have a good papa relationship. Amen. It can be good. It can be sweet. Amen. That was free. Now, just one more thing we're going to hit here and then I'll close. Faith will not work in an atmosphere of unforgiveness. So we've settled it that God has forgiven us. So we're not going to be in condemnation. He's not stealing our inheritance. We're not going to let him have it. We are the righteousness of God. Our next thing that we deal with is being offended, or us being in unforgiveness towards other people. God forgave us so we can forgive. It is not a feeling. It is a choice. And the thing about it is if you don't deal with your root of bitterness, your prayers and faith are going to go unanswered, because they're stopping. They're getting in the way. And you could just forget about promotion. See, everybody loved that one. But listen, if Joseph went through hell, but if he would have gotten bitter, he would have never, he came out of prison, he would have never been promoted. But he just made it through it and kept his eyes on God and kept his eyes on God and kept his eyes on God. And he loved his family, even though they're the ones that threw him under the bus, or into the pit, I should say. He kept loving, and he ended up saving all of them, because he stayed in a place in faith, in love, so that he could get the promotion. And he moved to the top, and he never held a grudge. A root of bitterness defiles the person, according to Hebrews 12:15, and then sickness and poverty will set in. So anytime you're feeling mistreated, you can know that's the devil working on you. That's the devil. Anytime you're feeling mistreated, you're standing there combing your hair in the mirror, and you're thinking, well, I just think they're against me. That's the devil. That's the devil talking. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know people are persecuting me. Oh, I know all about that. It's the devil talking to you, though. Because you're letting them have the time of day that they don't deserve. There's plenty of people that love you. Think about them.
True. That's good.
Amen. And so we want to forgive. We don't want to ever hold a grudge. We want to stop criticizing and saying things like, I would never do that. I can't believe they did that. You might be doing that in 6 months if you start opening your mouth like that. I can't believe, I would never. I don't think I'd even let that come out of my mouth. First of all, it's all the same. Sin is all the same. But it's a good idea to not be criticizing people. It's stopping the flow.
Right.
Just zip it up. Just grip the lip. Just stop talking about people. It's getting quieter and quieter in here. Danny, be ready to open the door for me, and I'll run here in a minute. I'm just encouraging you as we close here. I'm just encouraging you, draw the love line and walk in it.
Yeah.
Draw the love line and walk in it. Just be at peace. Even if people don't treat you right or whatever they do, lock you out, whatever it is, just stay in peace. Keep your peace. Just don't get into chaos in your mind about it. Just don't let the enemy win. I think about Gloria. And Miss Gloria Copeland, she just had a birthday. And I think about when she was young and Kenneth was still, Brother Copeland was still young, and he'd get grouchy. And he'd get tired, and he'd be on the road all the time, and he'd come in fussy, and he'd fuss at her. And she'd just walk up to him, and she'd put her hand on his face. And she'd say, somehow, I'm going to be a blessing to you. And it changed his life, because that love got through. That love will get through. Just be, go ahead and be a blessing. Somehow your love will get through the thickest walls, the thickest barriers. Somehow it will. It will. You know, you want to know why, how I know that? You're like, I don't know if it ever will. I can tell you it will, because there's a scripture that says love never fails. So draw that love line and walk in it. I want to read you something that Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, I realize that God can never bless us on the lines of being hard-hearted, critical, or unforgiving. This will hinder faith quicker than anything will. I believe there are a great many people who would be healed, but they are harboring things in their hearts that are a blight. Let these things go. Forgive, and the Lord will forgive you. There are many good people, people who mean well, but they have no power to do anything for God. There is just some little thing that came in their hearts years ago, and their faith has been paralyzed ever since. I refuse for us to be those people. We're not going to let something that happened to us when we were kids, our teenagers, or the last marriage, or the time of getting in trouble, or whatever the hurt was, we're going to get over it.
Yes, we are.
And we can, because God will do it. We can be healed.
Yes, we can.
We can be healed. Amen. We can be healed. And if we start saying the right things, we will be healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I would add to what he said that when these people get these things in their hearts and it paralyzes their faith, it'll paralyze their love. But it isn't going to paralyze ours. Because we're healed right now. We are healed in the name of Jesus. We're healed. We are healed. And we forgive everybody. We forgive people. If you need to forgive someone, just right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone who needs to forgive anyone, we forgive, Lord. We hold nothing against one single soul. And Father, we know that you don't have anything against us. So the way is clear. We can love. And Father, at the risk of hurt, we will still love. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll heal that hurt. Even if someone just hurts us again, you will heal it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. You know, I've watched love stories and read love stories where people say, wow, don't you wish you'd have never, you lost your mate earlier, they're gone, and don't you wish you'd have never got into it? And 100% said, oh, no. I'm so glad I married him. I'm so glad that man was the love of my life. And he did leave early, but I'm so glad. Or that person, I just loved them so much. And I just appreciate the time we had together. I wouldn't change that for anything. What do they say? It's better to have loved and lost than to not love at all.
Yeah.
And that is true. And so at the risk of talking about country music, I would say to you what Martina McBride sang to the whole world, do it anyway.
Yeah.
Just do it. If tomorrow everything crumbles, go ahead and love today.
Yeah.
Go ahead and use your faith today. You know the song?
Yeah.
Go look it up.
Yeah.
She just says in country words, do it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Do it anyway. Go ahead and do it. And I was just telling Deb that a few days ago. At the risk of hurting, we're not going to shut ourselves off. We'll just do it anyway. We'll love the people in this city.
Yeah.
Whether they're barking about us or doing it, we're going to love the people.
Right.
We're going to love each other. Even if someone in here starts barking at you or turning your water off, love them anyway.
Yeah.
Love them anyway. Just love them anyway.
Yeah.
I think of all the times that people have just plowed through the Copelands with saying horrible things about them. And if they would just stop and look at their record of love success.
Yeah.
But just because that money thing. And all the junk, and just the word of faith stuff, you know. How much torture they took. But they loved people anyway. They loved people anyway. There's some people that come to the meetings that we go to that used to tear them up. Just tear them up word-wise. Now they're sitting in those meetings because they were right. Because they looked at their giving record. Because they looked at their love record.
Yeah.
And just before we receive the offering, I want to say something about money to you. You know, a lot of people immediately want to judge us over the prosperity message. But they ought to see our giving record in this church.
Yeah.
They ought to see it. Because we live to give around here. It goes out, and I'm telling you, it goes out good. I just had Deb turn in all the people that we have given to, and it's a monthly thing, and you would be quite surprised at how long that list is. It's a beautiful thing. But I'm telling you, the people that don't understand that we need to be prosperous, they're missing one of the most important things that God does. Because if you can prosper, you can bless. You can bless if you prosper. Mm-hmm. So don't be shy and be ashamed of your prosperity. Mm-hmm. God gave that to you because you're a giver. Yeah. And those that don't understand it and don't receive it and, oh, y'all are just all about money, I think they've never really seen our hearts. They've never really understood themselves what we stand for. But I'll tell you this, I love them anyway, but I am not backing down for one second.
Oh, no.
You need to be blessed.
That's right.
And you need to be well.
Yeah.
At the risk of whatever anybody wants to think.
That's right.
Well, they're just after them. They're just money grubbing over there. No, that's not true. We'll take the tool and we'll use it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.